The Bible is reliable. Hi, this is Carl Kosar from the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue in our series entitled, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet, The Bible for Today. To help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies, and Dr. Dave Thomas, the Dean of the School of Theology. Welcome, gentlemen, and thank you for joining me.
Greetings, Carl.
Hello, Carl. Nice to be with you.
The Bible is reliable, and I should say that our title this morning is not a question, it is a statement. The Bible is reliable. And while a few Christians would disagree with that, what does it really mean? In what sense is the Bible reliable? Is it a reliable guide to bridge building, or for reconstructing the history of ancient Egyptians and Greeks, or maybe for mapping the ancient world? What are we talking about when we say the Bible is reliable? What do you think?
It reminds me of an analogy, if I can. If I were to take, for example, the Bhagavad Gita.
And what is that?
That is the favorite Hindu scripture.
Okay.
And it's part of the Mahabharata, which is the history epics of wars and battles and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that, archaeology comes up with some facts that prove the Mahabharata is historical. Does that make the Bhagavad Gita true and reliable? Does historical accuracy ensure theological truth? I would have to say no. I don't think the Bible itself, it includes history, it includes things of factual nature. There are a few little dissonances here and there on factual things. But the question is, what was the Bible, what was its purpose? What is its goal? Why actually was it written? Was it written to prove science or history or some factual things about the world?
That's the purpose.
What is its purpose? And I would have to say that you can only test that purpose by seeing whether it walks in your life. Does it put your life together?
Or does it speak accurately to the human situation and offer a realistic solution?
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah. And
you're not suggesting that historical accuracy is of no consequence.
I'm not. I'm not. I think there's enough evidence that the Bible is rooted in a real historical situation with real people.
Right. These are not fables that's made up. But the purpose is not to communicate this event by this event by this event, but to communicate the message and the power of God working through historical events.
But see, I think it's very interesting because the critics of the Bible oftentimes try very hard to discredit it on historical issues. It has the wrong name of a town, for example. A misspelling that. You two gentlemen are well versed in the text of the Bible far more than I am, and I wonder if it's not if it isn't worth a few minutes talking about the historical accuracy of the Bible.
No, and I think that's one of the things that has been really faith affirming is the discovery, an accidental discovery in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls. They found these a little shepherd boy found in some caves out in the Judean desert. Large jars full of scriptures, pieces from every book in the Old Testament, with the exception of one, the Book of Esther. And this was a very exciting discovery because before this discovery, our oldest copies of the Old Testament dated from around AD 1000. So there's 1,000 years before even Jesus' day. But with the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, it took us back to texts that were made even in Jesus' own day and earlier. We found, guess what?
They're essentially the same.
Essentially the same. You know, there's a word here or there. They're not sure which one to go with, but there's no challenge to the message of Scripture. I mean, it's just, once again, it is reliable.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago that we saw some of them. They had them in Seattle, and it was both a very interesting and educational and devotional experience to stand and look at those. I think especially some of the ones from the Psalms, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And to notice that the scribes had actually made mistakes and they had crossed out one letter and then written the proper one above it. It just mm-hmm. made me chuckle slightly. That you know, unless you're into verbal inspiration, which I think is an untenable position.
Yeah.
But I liked what you said. The you know, when the Bible talks about a battle or talks about a yes. city, that all does give us credence. This is, mm-hmm. this book does come out of a particular historical setting and human experience, and God, and it helps us see what God was yes. doing there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's rooted right. in history, and the other sources that we have for history, I think, say that generally it's corroborated.
It's yeah. confirmed. And that, to yeah, me, that's encouraging. And,
yeah.
and part of the, and we talk about this issue of, you know, confirmation, not confirmation. And part of the trouble we get into sometimes, I think, is that we often approach Scripture from the standards of academia today
yeah.
with a whole methodology of history that their concern was not to give us a history book. Their concern was to show us how God was working in their history. Yeah. And so to me, that nuance is important. I'm not saying it's not historical, because it is historical, but it's the good news of how God worked in those historical events that yeah. took place. And to me, that's faith-affirming.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that we treat the Bible in a far more critical sense than I think we treat any other piece of literature.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what other book is treated as the kind of scrutiny that the Bible is treated to?
Yeah. I'd like to bring another angle in on this, and that is the question of a coherent worldview, a coherent picture of God, a coherent picture of man and salvation. And I would argue, and I'm sure there's people who would disagree with me, but I would argue that when you look at Scripture in the large,
yeah.
it has an amazingly coherent worldview. Of the human heart, of God's character, mm-hmm. how he relates to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of coherence, I think, that is an added thing that helps me to feel the Bible is reliable.
A unified picture, right?
A unified picture.
Mean, yeah, you have different authors from different time spans,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
yet the same message in the ultimate.
Yeah, there's different emphases right. and all, definitely. But if you go up on a high enough level of mm-hmm. generality, there is a coherence there.
Yeah, and when you think that book was written over a period of, what, 1,600 mm-hmm. years, 1,500 yeah. years, by who
That's
knows?
That's amazing.
By how many authors. Yeah. And the big picture that you talk about, Bruce, is very evident there, all the way from Genesis, all the way through Revelation. Another element I would add is that I don't know of any other worldview that so accurately speaks to the predicament of human beings. How is it that there is this evil in us?
Yes. Very realistic about the human situation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's very accurate. It's not fabricated fables. It talks to the human in our situation, yeah. but it offers us a solution. And I never cease to be amazed that when people actually take the truths of the Bible and incorporate them into their own lives, their circumstances are invariably improved.
Mm-hmm. One more thing I'd like to bring sure. to this discussion, and that is the Bible invites us, taste and see that I am good.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the analogy that I've heard from other people that the Bible is like it's like a clay pot. It may be chipped, it may be discolored in a few places, but it still holds the water of life.
Yeah. I like that.
It still holds the water of life. And I think the ultimate test to its reliability is that when you drink that water, it changes your life.
Yes. Yes, it quenches your thirst.
It quenches your thirst.
Yes.
For me, I deal with world religions, and I teach those. And when I look at that, I have to come back. And of course, I grew up a Christian, but I have been exposed to these other things. I have to say, there's a realism there, and there's a solution there that puts my.
You know, when you speak of that realism, one of the things that encourages me, if I was actually writing Scripture, quote unquote. And it was writing about events that I was participated in, perhaps. You know, I would kind of, you know, use the whiteout on stories like David and Bathsheba.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's not, yeah. it's really not something I'd want, you know, to publish. You know, this is the man that God chose.
Or the four women in Matthew's genealogy. Oh,
yes. Very with very shady backgrounds.
Yes. We would be uncomfortable with that. We'd have quite a
or Jesus associate.
I think we'd have quite
a Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
Or the other outcasts of society.
We'd get quite an anemic rendition.
Yes. Yes, in this age of political spin, right, and glossing things over, yes. To me, that just says the Bible is not trying to hide anything. It's very, very genuine and very real.
Let me make another analogy. All language works, but it's messy.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great one, Bruce. I like that.
All language works, but it's messy. We have to repeat it. How many times we misunderstand each other? Mm. And we have to repeat and repeat and repeat, and we still misunderstand.
Especially if we're communicating by email, because there's no inflections in email.
We're getting emails such as in the classroom. Students are sitting there listening and, making sure that they communicated everything in the right way.
Yeah. God is culturally adept. He meets people in their culture where they're at. He uses people with all their foibles and weaknesses. It's amazing that you get that coherence in spite of that.
And you open up in my mind the thought about translating the Bible into different languages. Is that if you've ever worked with translating the Bible, you realize precisely what you're saying is that you are able to convey a message, but the actual words, even from language to language, are going to be slightly different. But the message remains.
Yeah, the message. Yeah. I think this is the key point, is this, that ultimately Scripture is rooted in that message. And to me, the Bible time and time again, whether it's the Old Testament or with the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls or the discovery of early Christian manuscripts of the New Testament, all very faith-affirming to me.
And that is true, that those manuscripts, although they come from many places, they're not that different. Yeah. The differences between them are really, really pretty small.
I'm going to give you an illustration of that impossibility to translate everything word for word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock in Revelation. In some African cultures, you can't translate that word for word. Why? Because a person who knocks at the door is a thief. So it would be better to translate, behold, I stand outside the door and call.
And call, yeah. That's true.
So the language is that way.
Yeah.
So it is the message
that
is so important.
The message that transforms. Yeah. And once again, this is just more faith-building reasons for why we trust Scripture.
Yeah.
Definitely the Bible is reliable. The issue of the reliability of the Bible, if you had to boil it down into, a key phrase, what would you say? The Bible is reliable because? How would you answer that?
Well, I think because of our knowledge of where its message came from.
From God?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a very clear mechanism discussed there, and then also there is the message in its totality.
Totality in a sense meaning?
I mean, the big view of things, the way it describes the human situation and the solutions for it.
Comes from God, view of human nature,
and the effect it has on those who adopt it.
Yes.
Not those who abuse it, but those who adopt
it.
Yeah. It's realism, worldview, and life-changing power.
And I think I can agree to that. Gentlemen, thank you. This has been a good discussion. I'd like to thank Dr. Bruce Johansen and Dr. Dave Thomas for joining me. And, of course, always to Susan Michael. We couldn't do this without her, for her technical assistance, and of course, to you, our faithful listeners of Probe, thank you for joining us and for thinking about these very important, very crucial topics on the authority of the Bible today. For Probe, I'm Carl Kosar.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.